Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Pipe Dummies and Cigar Federation. Today, me and Ben are going to start off. We'll have Logan joining us in later once he gets his little girl in bed. So we're going to be smoking some Dunhill's Smoker's Choice tonight. And I have decided to do Logan's favorite and go with an aromatic. Lightly aromatic, but a nice fruit casing on top of this Dunhill 3-year matured Virginia. I just lit up, so I don't have a whole lot to say about it so far. Well, that's my side. Let's head over to Ben and see what we got going on over there.
Yeah, I'm smoking Dunhill's Elizabethan mixture. It's a Virginia Perique blend. It comes in a 50 gram tin. And let me show you. It's a ribbon cut. Let's see if anybody can see that. Without dumping it all over my stuff here. Nice, beautiful ribbon cut. That's what the top of the tin looks like. And this is one that I've been wanting to try for a long time. I'm a big fan of Dunhill pipe tobaccos. Have been for a long time. But mainly what I smoke is most of the English stuff. I smoke, you know, my mixture 965, Nightcap, and also Early Morning Pipe, which is probably my favorite out of all of them, is Early Morning Pipe. And I never had a really chance to really try any much of the Virginia stuff because Elizabethan mixture has been pretty hard to find. But now it's becoming pretty available. You can get it pretty much anywhere. And we're lucky enough to have Dunhill send us some samples for the show. Yes. And that's where this tin actually came from. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. And I'm smoking it in my Ardor Fantasy. It's an Urbano Fantasy pipe, the Blowfish pattern. And I'm pretty much dedicating this pipe just to Virginia blends. And it's smoking so far really good.
I'm not real versed in Dunhills. In fact, I think this is the first Dunhill I've made it around to. It's just such an abundance of pipe tobaccos in my stash right now. And I haven't, finally made this. I've got through a lot of C&Ds, a lot of Suge, and a lot of Drew Estate. Those first starts, of course, but there's just so much out there. It's hard for me to get around. The only thing getting me around is reviewing one a week and now doing this show. So that gets me easily 2 or 3 pipe tobaccos a week.
Right. Yeah, I haven't had any of the Suge stuff yet. I've had a little bit of the C&D stuff. But probably the most I've had with C&D is Autumn Evening, which is aromatic. But, I mean, when my friends come over to my man cave to smoke cigars, I have a tin of it sitting there. Because I usually smoke it in my cob pipes, my Missouri Meerschaums. And they'll pop that tin open just to smell of that tobacco. And they love the smell of it. Even non-pipe people, they just love the smell of it. But other than that, not too much C&D. So, I don't know. I need to get more into the different C&Ds.
Trying to think. Yeah, I can't remember the names of the ones I've had now. Keep looking over here because that's where I've got them all stacked so I build some shelves. But I'm all over. I'm really liking the Shoegaze. And most of I've got the new, what is it? The God series, which are the non-aromatics. And I haven't gotten to them yet.
I just got some samples of that at IPCPR this year in New Orleans. Grant Batson, who's over the pipe tobacco division of Drew Estate, he actually gave me some little samples to try out. And I haven't got to them yet, but I actually pulled them out. They're actually sitting by my recliner, my man cave, to try out this week. So we'll check it out and see what it's like.
If they're anything like their aromatics, which, like we were discussing that before, I did not start on infused cigars, and I am not a huge infused cigar guy at all. But something about aromatic pipe tobaccos I have absolutely no issue with, and I'm a big fan of the aromatics.
And we're talking about this just before we came on air. Aromatics with cigars, I don't touch any infused, anything flavored, nothing, none of that stuff. Pipes is different. Like I don't prefer it. Like I'm I think I trim more towards the English blend type of a person, but I like my Virginias a lot too. It's like this Virginia Perique blend. But I have no problem smoking aromatics. I mean, I have a couple of pipes dedicated just towards aromatics. You know, like we had talked about in the last show, like from Boswell's. He makes a lot of really, really outstanding aromatics. And that's kind of where I've got kind of my flavor for aromatic, my experience with aromatics with the Boswell blends. And they were outstanding. But I have had some that were real goopy. So I can see where they would turn people off, where, you know, you get that bad gurgle, it gets too hot. It just, right. It can get rough pretty quick if you're not slow with it, you know. But I've had some outstanding ones too. So I don't know. To me, I just treat each tobacco as its own little entity. I don't really go in with any preconceived notions. And maybe because, you know, I've had a lot of tobacco and I've read up a lot and had a lot of people advise me on what to buy first. So I've had a lot of good tobacco, nothing really bad, that I've had good luck with everything. But I don't care if it's aromatic, English, Scottish, Oriental, you know, I don't really care. I'll go right on its own merit. I'm not going to usually go with preconceived notions with tobacco, which is kind of the opposite of cigars. So.
Yeah, and actually the only pipe tobaccos I've had that I wasn't real big on have been non-aromatics. I haven't had an aromatic yet that just turned me off that I couldn't finish it.
Right.
So it's a little different. I don't know. Logan will come on later and give me hell for smoking my Boone's Farm, but yeah, that's okay.
He'll get over it. He'll be all right.
Well, so I'll smoke it. He won't.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had that tobacco last night, and I enjoyed it. I really did. Supposedly, the new version is not supposed to have a topping on it. The old version did have a topping on it, like a pretty decent topping on it. But depending on where you look it up at, right. Some people say it has a topping. Some people say it doesn't have a topping. Like tobaccoreviews.com says there's no topping, if I remember right.
They actually show a flavoring of fruit and citrus.
And so they do show it on there?
Right. They show that it was discontinued in 2007 and relaunched in 2015. So we just relaunched it. But
right.
It does show that it has a flavoring.
Yeah, that one is an exclusive, if I remember right, to smokingpipes.com. I think it's either that or pipesofcigars.com. I can't remember which one it is. That and Baby's Bottom. But the original release had a pretty stout flavoring on it. This one, says it's kind of citrus. Nice. Yeah, citrus and what else did it say?
They call it a fruit / citrus. So it's just a fruit and citrus. It doesn't get any real specific on it.
Now, when I smoked it, I did get a fruit note on it. Do you taste any fruit at all?
Very light.
When I smoked it was berries. That's the flavor I got, like a berry, like, you know, just a berry flavoring. But it was pretty light. Like, I had to search it out.
Right. I'm having to do that now to see if I can find it. But I know when I smell out of the jar, you know, I can tell it seems aromatic. I mean, the Virginias, of course, are pretty sweet to begin with and pretty light. Right. But you can tell there's a little something extra on it. But I think it's pretty mild. I guess it would depend on your sense of mild and not mild, but I think even if you smoked non-flavored, this would still be a mild flavor.
Yeah, it's definitely mild. Like, it's just an accent. Like, I had to really concentrate to say, you know, because mainly what I got was sweet Virginia. But there was that little something, and it took me a long while to figure out, like, oh, that's like a berry flavoring. You know, and there is a little bit of brightness, and I guess that's the citrus part of it. It does seem a little bright, so maybe that's the citrus part of it. But I never really tasted, oh, well, that's lemon or lime or grapefruit or whatever. It just tasted bright to me.
Yeah, it's not like smoking a bowl of, Drew Estate heirloom cherry. Well, you smoke that stuff and you are smoking cherries. That stuff is strong. This is very muted, which is nice. It gets rid of the just only tobacco note and gives you a little something different, lightens it up for you.
I enjoyed it. I mean, but like I said, I don't care if it's aromatic or not. I mean, I prefer it not to be, but it's not that big of a deal to me. So, and I liked it. I really did. I liked it a lot.
It is a smoke machine too. It's producing some clouds of smoke here. I can barely see around.
Yeah, so is this one. This does the same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get into all those samples, get through some Dunhill.
Yeah, this is I was so excited when Dunhill was able to send us some samples of the tobaccos because I love – there's not a Dunhill that I don't like. I mean, there's some that I like better than others, obviously, but there's none that I just said, ooh, no, I can't do this. There's none of them. Nothing even I thought was mediocre to me. So, not that I've had yet. But this Elizabethan mixture has been really growing on me. When I first smoked it, probably about, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago when we first got the package from Dunhill, I opened up a tin pretty much immediately. I started smoking it, and I thought, it's not bad. It's nothing that, you know, really blow my mind, but it's pretty good. But each bowl I've had, it's like, yeah, this is pretty good. I'm definitely liking this. Oh, yeah, this is pretty good. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. You know, it's got a little bit better. You know, and what I get out of this is it has that sweet kind of hay flavor from the Virginias, but that Perique has that little bit of plumminess to it, too, and it's a little bit creamy. It's really enjoyable, but I'm not even at a halfway point of my bowl yet. It gets a little bit more richer as it burns down.
Creamy, that sounds pretty good already. That's always one of the best things I can get out of a cigar is a nice creamy note.
Me too. It's almost a prerequisite for me to have a Connecticut. The Connecticut cigars are either woody or creamy. They're not usually both, you know, as a dominant flavor. I tend to go for more of the creamy Connecticuts.
I just kind of got a little blast of, I'd say, I don't know if I could necessarily call it berry, but it's definitely fruity all of a sudden. Then it dissipates and it just goes back to a, you know, more natural tobacco note.
Yeah. It's, to me, it didn't get that kind of berry flavor until I got at least to the halfway point in the bowl, a little bit further down. Then I was like, oh, yeah, that's berry. Like, I knew it was fruity.
Right.
Then it was like fruity, it's berry. But I smoked it down a little bit before I even could recognize the berryness of it.
Yeah, that would explain it then, because I'm getting maybe a quarter of the way through this bowl, but it takes a minute for it to actually kick in.
Yeah. Yeah, my problem with this Elizabethan mixture is being slowed down. You know, because Virginias, you can get tongue bite really easy. You can smoke them fast, and they'll bite you. But this one, I mean, even when I smoke it, I think I'm doing it too fast. I don't get any bite from this. And right. I didn't get any bite from that last night either. No bite whatsoever. But this one, it can get a little bit hot in the bowl. So I got to make sure to slow down. And, you know, but
I always got to tell myself that with these pipes. Sometimes I just sit there and just puff, puff, puff. And, well, I better take a little slow there. Especially those good ones, it's hard to stop.
Yeah. This is actually the I bought this Ardor pipe several months back, but I haven't smoked it yet. Because I knew I was the one dedicated this to Virginias. And to be honest, what I've been smoking lately has been a lot of English blends. So I haven't really got a chance at this. But then when I busted out the kind of what happened too was I got a new Suge pipe. I can't remember what the model name of it is, but it has the bamboo shank on it. It's a curved bamboo shank. And a lot of times what I do with a brand new pipe is I like to break them in with a Virginia. Usually like just a pure Virginia, but I don't have any of that really on hand right now. So I've just been using different Virginia blends in it. So if it's smoking a Virginia blend, I've been grabbing that pipe. And it's a great smoker too. I really love that pipe. It has a smallish bowl, but it smokes perfect all the time. So this is actually the first time I've smoked this pipe. It's got a pretty decent sized bowl on it, but
it looks like a big bowl.
Yeah, I mean a lot of that's just the briar
exterior.
Yeah, but it does have a pretty decent sized bowl. But
yeah, I need to start investing in some more pipes. I've got my three pipes, and that's pretty much it. Besides a bunch of little corn cobs that I could use here and there, but
yeah, corn cobs are excellent because I mean they're like beater pipes, but they hold up to everything. That's what I like about them. You know, you throw them in your pocket and go out somewhere. You know, where I probably wouldn't just throw this in my pocket, but
yeah.
I mean, the only way, I mean, I really can't afford, you know, these high-end pipes or nothing either, but the only way I do is if I can find a really good deal on an estate pipe, then that's when I'll bite, you know, and go for one of these nicer pipes. But I've come to find out, like most things with me, it's like I have a whole bunch of pipes, but I keep coming back to the more nicer pipes. So, like, I have probably 15 pipes, but I kind of have this one for Virginia's. And then the Sir Jopica, which I've had on the show, that's for English. Yeah. So every time I grab an English, I grab that. When I've been smoking Virginia, so I'm grabbing this or the Suge. So I'm kind of not touching some other pipes anymore. Just like better, you know, quality over quantity thing, I guess.
Right. Go ahead and spend the money and get a couple you really like, and you'll use them more than 15 pipes that were just okay.
Right, and honestly, when you buy them on a state, it's not that much more. It really isn't. But I talked to this, Logan and I were in Europe. We were talking about pipes stuff. I was like, yeah, because I just can't pay too much for a pipe. It just seems idiotic. I'm like, I see your point. But when I actually smoked this and the Sir Jopico along with my Savinelli's and stuff like that, I could tell a difference that they smoke better. You know, I mean, I could tell that they smoke better, and I'm not that great at, you know, pipes either. So it's pretty good.
Let's see what you got. Sorry. Somebody walking in on the other side there. I'm going to say, still my favorite is this. Your estate Suge that we got at the show a couple years ago, and
I heard those are great smokers.
It smokes. I mean, like I said, I don't have a lot, so I have a lot to compare it to, but I'll say it smokes really good. And the extra bowl at the bottom, you put the extra tobacco in, you can change different flavors in the bottom too, so that you're drawing through a different type of tobacco than you're smoking, which is a nice little something you can do, but it keeps the dry, you don't get a gurgle on this thing. I mean, you can smoke bowls after bowl in this thing and you won't get a gurgle. It soaks it all up for you.
Yeah, I kind of think they do it like a system pipe where Peterson, my understanding of it is.
But the other thing I like is you can buy different bowls for this. So I could technically have one pipe, three different bowls.
That's pretty cool. Pipes. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's pretty cool. And I saw that at the show with Grant. We showed me the pipes and stuff. Because they had all the Suges out there, but then they had some of the Drew Estate pipes. And actually coming out with a different version of that pipe, too. A more, like those, I think, run anywhere from $300 to $350 a piece or something like that.
Depends. I've seen it for like $275.
Yeah, they're coming out with a cheaper version that will run anywhere from $150 to $175, which is pretty close to what that is, but just a little bit less of the cosmetic parts of it and stuff. They still look really gorgeous. Right. I like them a lot. But I tried to actually order one at the show, but they weren't ready yet. So,
and I like, too, that I got the Robusto bowl on here. If I decide I want the Churchill with the Bellicoso bowl, I can just buy it. It'll fit right on the rest of this base. You can change the stem out. And down here, what I need to do is the bottom base comes off. And I've used this where I'll pack the pipe and then can't get around to it through the top on, and it holds it for me. I can toss the whole thing in my pocket, packed, and then take it off when I get to it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
They make this where all these parts are cut out, like around the bridge and the Brewer State in the center there.
Yeah.
And they, like Jonathan was telling us, they made that for bikers that smoke their pipes. They can smoke it without all the tobacco blowing out in their face. But then I realized I need it just down here because the wind blows 20 miles an hour most of the time anyway, and I've tried to smoke outside before and just be walking around and wind gusts are blowing this stuff in my face. So I'm going to have to see if I can't buy that little piece just to allow me to smoke outside.
Yeah, they also make windshields that go on top of pipes too. It's like a little mesh cap that you can put over the top of it, and it does basically the same thing.
Same thing, a lot cheaper, but a little less pizzazz.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's like a silver cap. I mean, it's nothing. It looks like a colander. That's basically what it looks like. You know, a colander on top of your pipe.
A little less pretentious than the, $30, $50 cap that this probably is.
Maybe, but I would still buy the cap because it matches. It goes with the pipe, and it looks cool.
It just looks cool. I'm pretentious like that. Give me something cool. I need to actually buy a few more bowls. I just can't bite the bullet yet.
Well, and what's coolest, like, is that, I can't really tell on the camera, but that's a matte black bowl?
Yeah, this is the sandblasted black.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, because you get them in the different finishes and swap out the different finishes. So you can get like the,
my lighting, I got to get it better for the show, but it's just black.
Yeah, you can get it like I think you can get it regular rusticated, and you can also get it the smooth finish with the grain. So you can if you decide you want to go like to give it to Churchill, you can get the smooth briar finish and have a whole different looking pipe. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, all around that, you can change everything about it. Just change the bowl, and you've got the base, the stem, and the cap. And instead of spending $300 every time, you just spend. Gonna look and see what they are. I think they're like, I honestly don't remember. Before I say how much I think they are, I better go look, because it seems like they're around here somewhere. Now I'm talking too much and not smoking enough to keep this thing going.
You know, one thing I've noticed with cigar smokers with pipes too is that, I mean, which is basically what this whole show is for, cigar smokers that want to smoke pipes and don't know what to do, which is kind of what we are. But yeah. I've noticed that, like, on cigars, like, I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm smoking a cigar and I had this huge plume of smoke coming off of it, that is a huge plus for me. And I've noticed with cigar smokers that smoke pipes, they're always constantly trying to get that huge plume of smoke. I think that's kind of why I smoke sometimes too fast, because I'm trying to pull and get that huge plume every single time. But when I watch some of the older guys that do the pipe tobacco reviews on like YouTube or on the forums or whatever, you see they're like little bitty puffs of smoke. I mean, it's like just a little bit. Like that. Just little bitty puffs. And that's it. So maybe I should just slow. Maybe that's a sign I need to slow down too.
That might be the reason you're smoking too fast. Got to have that smoke.
Yeah, I think it is. I swear I think it is. Because I notice I'm keep puffing until I get a huge plume of smoke. Then I'm like, okay, there it is. All right, I'm good now.
Sometimes I do that. I already know. Sometimes it's just because I want it to puff up a little better, and then other times I'm probably just overdrawing on that thing, getting it nice and hot.
I'm going to put I got a little bit of gurgle. I'm going to try to get it with this pipe cleaner.
Yeah, that, like I said, the one thing I like about smoking, not the one thing, but one of the big things I like about smoking this pipe is never get a gurgle.
It's more prevalent, like aromatics, and a little bit in Virginia. Usually when I spoke English, I never get the gurgles at all.
Yeah, the aromatics are good for it if you're not careful. Or if you get one of those aromatics that's just like a wet mesh or ribbon in there, that can give you a lot. And then again, I got it down here where it's just so humid outside. If I'm smoking in the summer, you know, it's 90-100% humidity outside. That I'm just drawing water right into the thing, so I'm not surprised when I get gurgles, which doesn't happen too often. Man, I was sure I could find those, but I don't even see them now. Because now I want to know how much they are so I know what I'm looking at here. Let's see, here we're sitting here relaxing, and I know Logan's having a good old time trying to get that kid to go to sleep.
Probably is.
Yeah, he said he'd be on about 7:30, but it sounds like he's having some fun.
Well, anybody that's a parent, you know, knows that when you say, oh, yeah, my kid's bedtime is at 7:30, so I'll see you at 7:30. That is total bullshit.
If the bedtime
is 7:30, we may see you at 8 o'clock, 8:30, somewhere around that time frame. We definitely will not see you at 7:30.
No. Now, if you didn't mention it, and you just said, I'll be there when I can, that kid would be out by 7:25, and you'd be there at 7:30. That's the way that goes.
Exactly.
My kid's getting real good at staying up late. He does not like to go to bed. Not that he doesn't even like, he's awake. 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock, and he's just wired.
Well, mine is too, yeah. He's in first grade at 6 years old. But thing is, if I can get him stopped and lay in the bed, gone. But he's wired until I make him stop and sit in the bed. And then he'll say, Daddy, can you just sit here a minute? I'm literally there for 3 minutes. He's gone.
Mine's not that way. He's wired. If you put him in bed, he's not going to stay there. He might lay there with you and have some milk. And then he's going to be like, all right, I'm done. Get up and run. So you got to wait. He'll tell you. He'll start to rub his eyes. And when he does that, he say, you tired? He goes, yeah. You want to go to bed? Yeah. And that's when he'll go.
How old is he?
He's 21 months. He'll be 2 in January.
Yeah. Well, when my son was that young, it was the same way too. But as he's gotten older, now he's got to get up, you know, early in the morning to go to school. So around 8:30, he's tired. He's wore out now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that works in my favor too.
Definitely. He doesn't have anything. He gets up in the morning, he plays until he wants to nap, then he naps, then he plays till he has to nap again.
Who wants to grow up? I mean, that sounds like the perfect life.
Yeah, and then my wife, you know, not that it's not hard to stay at home and take care of a kid, because, yeah, it definitely is hard to spend your whole day dealing with somebody who doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just sit home and, well, he plays, she plays. But sounds better than you work from home, you and Logan, but I get up at 6 and I get ready and I go up to the office and I'm going to leave the office at 5, so I don't get to just sit at home and play at all.
Yeah, my wife was a nurse, so she would go to the hospital, and I'd be home, you know, with a, you know, 2-month-old baby trying to work while simultaneously dealing with him at the same time. It was a life experience, put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think I could do both. I don't want to work and watch him. Watch him or work. One of the two. And right now, he'd rather have me home so we could play. He is all about dad.
Yeah, it's so nice because my headquarters is in California, or it was at the time. But because it was in California, I got paternity leave, which I didn't even know existed. This is Mississippi. We don't have paternity leave.
No, at all for anybody?
No. That's not, no, no. But in California, it's state law. So I got 2 weeks of paternity leave. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, see, here the mother gets 6 weeks, which seems like a lot, but 6-week-old kid and you got to go back to work. It's like, yeah, there's no way. So, you know, she got to quit and just stay home. It's like, I don't want to just send him off with somebody. Plus, we didn't have anybody we trusted
to watch her. Yep. Been there.
Like Logan, they know personally the person who watches her kids, so they trusted in that daycare.
Right.
Which is nice. Except the cost of daycare. It's cheaper not to work than it is to send a kid to daycare.
That's very true. That's saved us not having to pay for that. But I sent him to, private school now, so it, I'm paying for it now. So
yeah, that's, we're looking at private school too, because I don't like any of the schools down here.
They're okay. It's just like, I mean, my son in kindergarten went to computer lab and took Spanish. And was already doing math and reading and all that in kindergarten. Which, yeah, that's not normal around here.
That's a little accelerated.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've been looking around a lot, but I'm trying to clean this up. So I actually already went through that whole bowl of tobacco there.
Damn. That's quick.
I did not think I was smoking it that quick. I mean, it's not a huge bowl.
Oh, it's not, is it? That's a pretty small bowl.
Yeah, no. The Robusto is pretty small. I mean,
wow.
Pinky, it's.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is really small. That's a super small bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it only goes down to here. It's. Yeah, that's about the bottom of the bowl. It's pretty small.
That's why it didn't take you very long, which is kind of cool because that would be a great size to have like during lunch on a break or something. So it'd be great to have really. Have a Robusto for that kind of stuff, or when you need a quick smoke, and then have a Churchill for when you can, you're at home relaxing, just chilling. You know, you could have a longer smoke.
Yeah, or that pretty cool. The Bellicoso is a pretty good sized one too. They're really deep.
Oh,
so yeah, this one goes pretty quick. But
did you ever get that berry, or just it was all just fruit?
Right about in the middle, I got kind of a fruitiness, but I didn't get a very much berry out of it. I mean, that is a very mildly flavored tobacco.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why some places, like if you go online to buy it, they don't list as aromatic at all.
But I can tell smelling it. I don't think we get some better lighting here, but this stuff's pretty light. You can see all the Virginias in it. It's what you got here, three-year aged Virginia. But you can just tell by smelling it that it has a casing, a topping on it, because it is not straight tobacco. That'd be a good one for somebody who doesn't think they're going to like aromatics to give that a shot.
You know, the one I had them wrong. The one that I said used to have a topping but doesn't now, it's not the three-year age of Virginia. It's the ready rubbed in a green can. That one used to have a fruit topping and now it doesn't.
Okay.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Got a can of that, too, that I'm going to have to pop open.
I was really impressed with that because – I kind of had, I don't know why, but I had a low opinion of it going into it. And then me and my buddy were here smoking one night. And I'm like, hey, let's try this ready to rub tonight and see what it's like. We'll sit here, we'll open up one tin and we'll smoke it together and see what we each think of it. And we opened that one up. And I was like, damn, this is pretty good. I'm really liking this. This really, it's really good. So, I mean, the flavor, if I remember right, what I got out of that one was, it almost reminded me of like banana nut bread. As weird as that sounds.
That sounds damn good.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just too Southern, but I was thinking banana nut bread.
Well, I'm pretty Southern too, and I just finished some of that earlier this week that we made, some homemade. So if that has that flavor, then I'd be in trouble with that. I know I was looking here at tobacco reviews, and they show an old can of it, the old square tin.
Yeah.
The new ones are the round silver tin with a green label on top. But they show a flavoring of other/miscellaneous.
On the ready rubbed?
Right, but it says no longer in production, so that's the old one.
Right, the new one is not, it's just Virginia.
Let's see if I can find one on that. That's something, here's a re-release of it. Virginia blend with no flavoring. So, yeah, they changed it up when they brought it back.
That's it's good. That
happens a lot more with pipe tobaccos that I got to watch. Cigars. They're pretty much the same thing. You know, they don't tend to come back. Like the Murcielago, the back came back. But they tried to keep that as close to the original as they could. But I've noticed pipe tobaccos go away and somebody else brings it back and it can be completely different from the original.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be by a different blender. You know, it's kind of crazy. Like the Sobrani, the Balkan Sobrani. I mean, I think it was five different blenders for that one alone. And each blend is a little different, or in some cases a lot different. You know, with cigars, you don't really get that, you know.
Yeah, but you keep the same blend in a cigar over and over. And if they go away, they tend not to come back from the ones that I've seen. At least for as long as I've been around. But I know it's looking at the reviews on the, I know we're talking about one we're not even smoking, but maybe Logan will come on smoking this one and he can verify. But the original one with the flavoring, you know, it's getting like a 1 to 4 star scale, 2, 2.5 stars. But the new one's getting 3.5 stars. So I guess they did something right with that.
Yeah, I never had the original of that ever. Like I said, mostly what I've been smoking with Dunhill is early morning pipe and my mixture 965 and nightcap. That's pretty much the main three I've always been smoking.
That's something else. I've got so many varieties of tobacco and I've got to smoke so many different things for reviews. I don't tend to get around the same one very often. The only ones I find myself going to repeatedly are my Suge blends.
Yeah, I haven't even cracked those open yet.
If you're not against aromatics, I think you're going to love them. They got
I'm not against them. Flavors. No, they're not. I'm definitely not totally against them. Not like Logan.
Yeah, no. Not like Fearless Leader over there. He is a non-aromatic.
Humanity.
He started on them a little bit, but then he got snooty real quick about his pipe tobaccos. And he'll verify that. That isn't even my wording. That's his. Let's see. I don't want to just light this up yet because this sucker's still pretty hot. No, cooling down.
Yeah, mine's warm too. It's real warm.
Yes, you got a pretty good bigger size bowl. I think mine lasted about 30 minutes on that. You're pushing about 45 now. And I packed this one pretty tight.
This one too. I'm at least down at a little bit past the halfway point now.
Yeah, so you got a good hour long bowl on that one. I packed this one pretty dang tight. I don't know if you watched me while we were getting ready there, but I packed it and I pushed it down and played with it for a little more and then packed it. And I think I only had to light it. I think I only had to relight it once. That second relight turned out I was already done with it. I didn't realize it. I was lighting ash. It was nothing to go there.
The dottle. Yeah, just reheating the dottle up at the bottom.
Yeah.
I did that last night with this one in my Suge. I was like, damn, why is this? I just say two puffs, it goes out. I relight it, two puffs, it goes out. I was like, oh, well, I'm smoking the dottle again. No wonder it kind of tastes weird. Right.
See what happened to my pipe tobacco under here if it got very wet. No, not too wet. It's actually pretty dry and crispy in the middle there, so ready to go again. I noticed with this Robusto bowl, smoke a couple. Smoke one, sit around a little bit, let it cool off, and then go and have another one.
Yeah.
Before I clean it out, because it is the smaller. But I got the smaller because it was like, and that's the funny part. My first pipe is a $300 pipe. I didn't start with it. It's like, all right, there we go. Let's just start top of the scale right there. So I was like, let's go with Robusto because I don't know if I want to learn to pack one of those big ones and start smoking in a big bowl. But I think I'm about ready to advance here.
The first pipe I got, and I still have it too, and I actually use it for aromatics now, is a Calabrese. Really well made pipe. I mean, they're cheap. They're like, I don't know, like $30 maybe, $25-$30, and they smoke really well. And then, you know, I went a step up from there and I bought several Savinelli. For me, the best bang for your buck is a Savinelli pipe. I mean, because they smoke way above their price points. You get like a $150 Savinelli, it smokes like about a $300 pipe. And even the lower, like $80, you know, $60 to $80, even up to $100, they smoke amazingly well too. But then you get up to, like, you know, these Arters and Radis and, like, the Serjapicos, Castillos and stuff like that. I mean, that's just a whole nother experience there. I mean, those pipes you'll pass down to your kids and stuff, you know, heirlooms. I mean, they like I said, they do smoke different, but, I mean, you just can't go wrong with Savinelli's, in my opinion. Yeah.
I've got a lot of education to do in pipes. I know Suge. I know the Drew Estate Suge. I know Savinelli's after that, and I know Dunhill makes some pretty expensive stuff, especially when you get some old estate pipes, but past that, my pipe maker knowledge is not very large.
Yeah, it's Dunhills are just unbelievably expensive. But I mean, even if you go to estate pipes, that's not that big of a drop off from brand new to estate either, to be honest. Because honestly, a Dunhill is like the pipe. Like, if you want to pick one pipe for the rest of your life, most people would probably pick a Dunhill. I mean, they've just been the icon pipe forever. You know, so, but I mean, I don't have one. I hope to own one one day for sure, but it's going to be a while.
Those things get pretty pricey too, don't they? I mean, talking four figures on a pipe.
Some can be, yeah. But like your normal, like, you know, your normal pipes from Dunhill, they're about $700 brand new, like for their low grades. But even when you buy them in a state, you're still looking at $400 to $500 for an estate pipe.
So that's a lot of money on a pipe.
Yeah.
And then you still got to buy tobacco to put in it and find the time to smoke it.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking about that today. Okay, I'm an engineer. So I'm constantly doing in my head, like, you know, decision trees and logic maps. And, you know, I try to figure out things with math and all that. I started thinking about pipes, pipe tobacco versus cigars. Okay, so basically you could buy a Dunhill pipe. It's going to run you like maybe three boxes, you say, of like a Davidoff or a Padron. But you have that pipe the rest of your life and pass it down to your kids if they want it or whatever. So you buy tobacco to refill that pipe. And you can buy, you know, like, okay, here's a little baggie of 2 ounces of Dunhill My Mixture 965. Man, that 2 ounces, that probably costs $6 maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And this will last me a very, very, very long time. Pipe tobacco, if you convert it by the cost of tobacco, you know, from a cigar to, you know, the ounce of pipe tobacco, I mean, it's not even really comparable. Pipe tobacco is so, so, so much cheaper over the long haul than any cigar stuff.
Oh, yeah, so much cheaper. It is amazing. Like this, you know, this is the one of the Suge tins.
Yeah.
It's 1.76 ounces if you just go exactly what it is. And you're like, that's not a whole lot, but you start smoking this, this tin of tobacco just keeps going. You can smoke a lot of bowls of pipe tobacco off one tin.
Exactly. And you're talking about, you could probably, say you smoke 2 bowls a day. I mean, hell, you could probably buy maybe 10 tins for the entire year and easily smoke 2 bowls a day, no problem, and not even probably finish maybe those 10 tins. Right. And a tin is anywhere from, let's just say they're $10 a piece. So you spend $100 for an entire year of pipe smoking. I mean, I can go through $100 worth of cigars in a week.
Oh, yeah. Like this, that tin of Suge, they're about, I think they're $13 a tin.
Yeah.
But that's $13, and I could smoke, well, I don't smoke 2 a day, but that'll last me a few months easy. If I only smoked that tin of tobacco, it would last me a few months for $13.
Right.
Plus buying one pipe, which technically you could buy a $20, $30 pipe, and it's a 5-pack of a regular cigar, and then you're smoking for 2 months. So, yeah, there is definitely a price difference in pipe. Like, I've got enough pipe tobacco already that it's quite a few years worth of smoking, and I'll never get through this stuff. If I buy another tin, I'm never going to get through it.
That's just why, well, that's good, because you can sell her the tins, you know?
Yeah, I got to build a shelf on this wall over here and single stack these things because it starts to add up. And I'll come in here and have to look for something. And it's not as easily stored as cigars. I'll give it that. Well, depending on how you store it, it can be easier, but it's a little bulkier than stacking a bunch of cigars in themselves inside of
people
and then sorting through them.
That's the biggest pain in the ass is storing pipe tobacco for me. Because, I mean, you have these tins sitting everywhere or, you know, mason jars all over the damn place. It's ridiculous, you know. It takes up way more room, you know. But the cigars, you could have, you know, 200 cigars in a little box, you know, about the size of a laptop, you know. I mean,
right.
And so, I mean.
I've got boxes of these. But I still got to build something to put them in because these are all full of tobacco. And they're just stacked up over here.
Yeah, and I need a label maker. I need a good way to make labels for them, too.
All right, give me those little Dynamo? I think Dynamo label.
Dynamo label maker?
Yeah, Dynamo. Those things work good. They're easy. They're cheap.
At one time, I bought these, and it was really stupid. I don't know if you can see that, but it's the clear little labels you can print out in your printer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put them
like Adrian's
on,
labels.
Yeah, the Avery labels and stuff. So, like, I printed that out with black ink. Obviously, it'll be black ink. Put it on the jar. You put the dark tobacco in it, you can't see the damn thing.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta go, what is this? It's idiotic.
Yeah, that would work, too. Just some good white Avery address labels. Print them up on your printer and stick them on there. Might even be easier than trying to use a Dymo label maker.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people do that. I mean, and I wish I could find some jars that don't have the imprinting on it, you know? I guess.
Oh, yeah, smooth wall.
Yeah, smooth wall.
Like this one here.
Yes.
It has the ball on this side, but the rest of the jar, curve.
Oh, so that's
all the way around.
Yeah. These are ball jars too, but they got some kind of damn.
Well, I said ball. Tail. These are curd, actually.
Oh, curd jars. I've heard of curd. If you're a Southerner, you pretty much know about all these mason jar names. Because if you're not making moonshine with them, your grandmother's probably making jelly with it.
Yeah. Or after you finish eating the jelly out of it, you stick your moonshine in it.
Exactly. Or you just drink your sweet tea out of it, use it for your fine china for dinner.
Yeah, they make those brands. Like, you probably get them over there. I don't know. But you get a lot here in Texas. What do they call it? Redneck? I think they call it Redneck China for the brand. But they've got like a mason jar on a stem that makes it into a wine glass. And they've got them, you know, with handles to make drinking glass. They make it try to look fancy, but it's just a mason jar on top of a glass stem. Some good Southern high class ware.
Yeah, no, we're so awesome, so classy.
I'm not too mason jar myself. I'm in the South, but I act more like in the North, I suppose. To a point.
Just because you don't drink out of a mason jar don't make you a Yankee. Let's not get hasty.
Hey, my mom's a Yankee.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. Michigan, and I got a bunch of family up in Maryland, so I got a bunch of Yankee family.
Maryland's not Yankee. If you call Marylanders Yankee, they get kind of pissed off. So they're like a pseudo state, kind of like Missouri. They could be in between. It don't matter. They could be either one. They can switch sides if they want to.
Well, Michigan apparently can't.
No, they're no. I mean, the only people more Yankee than them, they live in a different country called Canada, so.
Old countries.
We're pretty much at the end of the show right now, so what are your final thoughts on your tobacco?
I might have to smoke some more bowls of this for sure. It was a good in-between. It didn't have a lot of straight Virginia tobacco notes. Didn't have a lot of flavoring to it. It may have been too in between for me. I kind of like to either have a decent amount of flavor come out so I can taste it. You know, if you're going to top the thing and taste it, I want to be able to taste a little more than that bowl.
Yeah.
And then other side is something like I was just showing there, something like this, which is, I mean, this stuff is strong right here. It's like opening up a jar of campfire. So I kind of like either side or the other. So
what the hell was that?
This is, actually, I didn't even label this one. I'm going to have to go look this one up.
I is forget, that but a flake or a rope? I couldn't tell in the jar.
Oh, it's a
flake. Well, it's a flake.
But this stuff is, it's strong right there. But it's some good stuff.
Is that from Logan?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the things he sent me, he gave me a while back, and I guess I forgot to label it.
I bet I know what it is. I bet it's the Arctic Old Kentucky Fire Cured.
Could be.
Old Kentucky, or, yeah.
Very likely, because it is some strong fire cured. It looks like it's been pressed in molasses and soap.
Yeah, that's the Arctic soap. And people have been, man, that is like a darling on YouTube right now. People love that tobacco.
I could just sit here and smell the jar all day. I don't even got to smoke this stuff.
Yeah. Mine's so
how was yours?
It's pretty good. It actually smokes better in this than it did in my Suge. But this is a bigger bowl than my Suge is. I still think I smoked it too fast, but it does dry my mouth out a little bit, but it doesn't have much of a bite. It is spicy. I get the spiciness of the Puri, but it's like a nice sweet kind of hay flavor, a little bit of plumminess, a little creamy with some spiciness to it. It's pretty good. It almost kind of reminds me that I'm going to say this and it's going to sound, it's a little bit overboard, but like a spice cake or something like that, you know, where it's, you got a little bit of sweetness, it's a little spicy and stuff, but it has that it's not really a hot spice, but it's like the cinnamon, the nutmeg type of spices and stuff like that. There's a little bit of heat to it, but I mean, it's more, it's almost like, maybe it's because I get that sweetness from the Virginias and the plumminess and all that. It almost reminds me of like, I don't know, like a spice cake from like, you know, Christmas time or something, or whether it's spice cookies or something like that. It kind of has little hints of that to me in it. I mean, I really like it. I mean, I don't know if I would smoke this over like early morning pipe or nightcap, but it's up there. It's definitely up there. I mean, I like it, but I like vapors anyway. But I'll put it this way: I know a lot of people really enjoy Frog Morton on the Bayou. That's a big popular vapor, and I put it on level with that one. I'm not sure which one I would choose if I had to pick just one. Probably Frogmorton on the Bayou by just a smidge, and that's only because I've smoked a ton of Frogmorton on the Bayou, a ton of that, and I've just now, like, this is my first 10 of this, but I know people really, really, really love this blend, so that's why I've smoked probably three bowls this weekend up till now, from Saturday to now. And it's been, every time it's been pretty good. It gets a little bit harsher near the bottom, but man, it's about mid bowl. It's really, really outstanding. It's good. And it produces a good amount of smoke.
You got me wanting to try it now. A little sweetness, a little kitchen spice. That sounds like a really good mix of a natural tobacco too.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I said it was kind of, I don't want to overstate it, because it's like, what pops in my head is like those spice cookies or spice cake from Christmas. It doesn't taste like that. That's just what pops into my head when I'm, all these flavors come together. That's just what it reminds me of.
I mean, right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes you describe something, and I've done it before, where if you read it later, like, I made it sound like this thing's infused or this thing's topped with something, yeah. But it's not. It's just the malt. The way all the flavors and spices and the nuttiness or the sweetness of Virginia mixes in, it kind of makes you think of something more like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but
overall, I like it.
Well, that's good. I might have to pull that one out of one of those tins. I haven't even opened it yet, but I will eventually get around to it. I have to. Sounds too good. I've got to smoke it at some point.
But now, I think we'll both be coming back to these later on to do a full review on them, where we all three of them are smoking them. So maybe we should hold off on rating these.
We can do that. I think we've given a pretty good idea of where we'd stand just based on the description without putting a number to it. So
yeah,
we'll save that. Logan didn't get to log in over here, so it must have taken a while to get Callaway down. But
yeah, he emailed me about 10 minutes ago, said he just got her to sleep. So he'll join us again next Tuesday.
Good times. Yep. Well, I have another engagement that I am now running 3 minutes late for, so we'll let you and everybody else go here, and we'll hit up next week and smoke some more stuff and see if we can't get some good information out of us here.
Sounds good.
Less yammering, more reviewing.
Sounds good.
All right, have a good one, Ben.
See y'all next time.
See y'all next time.